The Christmas story is over 2,000 years old, and yet it feels so new again today. That's what we celebrate year after year, Christmas after Christmas, a story so ancient but still speaks to our hearts, still touches our souls, and it still saves the world. As we hear the story again today, we'll go back in time, not just 2,000 years, but even further, to hear the ancient prophecies that foretold the birth of Jesus hundreds of years before he was born. And then we will weave together the words of scripture and the lyrics of hymns to tell an old yet familiar story that is made new in our midst again this day. If you are a child and have one of the first Christmas booklets we were passing out to you as you entered, then we will point to different parts of the story in the book when they appear during this part of the service. We want all generations to understand and connect with this most amazing story. And I invite you to remain seated when we sing the hymns throughout this part of the service, and we will stand again when we get to our closing hymn at the end, O Little Town of Bethlehem. So we start back in ancient Israel. Like ourselves today, the people of Israel looked at their world and they saw it was not the way it should have been. The poor were hungry, the suffering were neglected. Those who ruled could not be counted on to do the right thing. The people sank down into despair, into a deep darkness. They couldn't find no light and no hope. But then the voice of a prophet sounded like an alarm, urging the people to wake up and step out of their fear and despair. Isaiah's words brought the light of God's hope to life. Today, Isaiah's words ring true again, waking us up, providing a vision of what is possible with God. So listen, the words of the prophet are for you this day and for all. In light of God's hope, we cry out for the coming of the Christ child. As we come to our first reading, I invite all of those with the Christmas book to turn to page 8, which has the words of the prophet Isaiah, as well as a picture of what the conclusion to the story looks like. We will return to the beginning of our story with the next reading. So hear now these words from Isaiah 9, verse 2, and verses 6, and Isaiah 9, verse 2, and 6 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son has been given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be an endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
The wonder of Christmas can be hard to put into words. How do we give voice to the beauty and majesty of what happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? How do we proclaim the gift and blessing of what is about to happen in our midst again this year? It's hard to put it all into words. Poet Wallace Stevens says that the job of the poet is to be the priest of the invisible. Poetry helps us give voice to what we know and feel to be true, even when we can't fully see it or explain it. In the poem This Year, Anne Weems helps us imagine what might be happening in heaven this Advent season. I wonder if God comes to the edge of heaven each Advent and flings the star into the December sky, laughing with joy as it lights the darkness of the earth. And the angels, hearing the laughter of God, begin to congregate in some celestial chamber to practice their alleluias. I wonder if there's some ordering of rank among the angels as they move into procession, the seraphim bumping the cherubim from top spot, the new inhabitants of heaven standing in the back until they get the knack of it. After all, treading air over a stable and enunciating at the same time can't be all that easy. Or is everybody, that is every soul, free to fly wherever the Spirit moves, or do they even think about it? Perhaps when God calls, perhaps they just come, this multitude of heavenly hosts. Perhaps they come winging through the winds of time, full of expectancy, full of hope, that this year, perhaps this year, perhaps the earth will fall to its knees in a whisper of peace.
Prophets had done their job. They had awoken the people and prepared them to imagine what life might be possible with God. And they reminded them that God is always faithful to God's promises, and God is always present to those who believe. In the story as told by Luke, we see God step towards humanity in a bold and new way. God turns first to a young woman from Nazareth, whose name is Mary. The angel Gabriel tells Mary that she will conceive a child named Jesus, and he will be the Son of the living God. Startled, afraid, confused, Mary, nevertheless, chooses to be faithful, saying she will do what God asks, even at great personal risk. As people of faith, we too are asked to have courage in the face of fear. Let us continue to hear the echoes of Mary's courageous yes, echoes which ring through the heavens again this day. I invite all of those with a booklet to turn to page 1, which tells us of Gabriel's visit to Mary and shows Mary in prayer with God.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
The Christmas story comes to the most ordinary of people. Joseph was a no-name carpenter living in the small town of Nazareth. And when this young carpenter learns that his fiancée is pregnant with a child that is not his, he is hurt and disappointed. He plans to quietly separate from her. But God's grace and mercy intervene. An angel comes to Joseph in a dream and reassures him, telling him not to be afraid, because the baby in Mary's womb is not an ordinary child. It is the very Son of God. When Joseph awakens, he steps forward in trust and in love, following the will of God and making Mary his wife. Those of you who have the first Christmas booklets, I invite you to turn to page 2, which tells us of Mary's relationship with Joseph and points toward their journey to Bethlehem, which takes place in the next reading.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife.
Now the time of waiting is over, and the promises of God are fulfilled. There is born the one whose power and glory surpasses any that Caesar Augusta or any mortal might claim. The Savior of the world, the incarnation of God, is not born in a royal palace or even a warm home. Emmanuel, God with us, comes to us as a vulnerable baby born in a stable, the humblest of God's creation. The sheep, the cows, the donkeys, and the goats bear witness to the birth of God's Son. This is a much beloved passage. We hear again how Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem, as the prophets had foretold. He slips into the world unnoticed by all but his parents and the animals of God's creation. I invite those with booklets to turn to page 3, which tells us of how Mary laid her child in a manger because there was no room in the inn.
It In those days, a decree went from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judah, to the city of David called Bethlehem. Because he was descended from the house and family of David, he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and was also expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. As she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Whenever children are born, the good news is shared. And so it was on that night with the maker of heaven and earth. God cried out in joy and sent messengers to share the news of Jesus' birth with shepherds living in the fields. Because of their poverty and their place at the margins of life, they were ready to hear the good news of great joy, that a Savior had been born to set the world aright. When the shepherds arrived at the manger, they saw for themselves the child who made everything new, even for them. And having seen, they became witnesses, sharing with anyone who would listen that God has become one of us and that nothing will ever be the same. I invite all those with booklets to turn to pages 4 and 5, which tell us of how the angels came to visit with the shepherds and then how the shepherds planned to go to Bethlehem.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.